Well, Kim, good to see you. Congratulations on this brand new set.
Thank you, Brian.
Songs of Instruction. Curious title. Tell me about it.
So the title is a phrase I stumbled upon about a year ago, and there was a Christian mystic from the 1500s, 1600s named Meister Eckhart, and he put together a collection of sermons for new priests, I guess, priests in training, that were called Words of Instruction, I believe. Anyway, it was one of those situations where I just started sort of exploring, seeing these sayings by Meister Eckhart, and I just stumbled upon that phrase. And I had already written most of the record, and the record had already begun to feel to me like I was like I was writing an instruction manual, sort of to myself, in hopes that it would make sense to other people as well. That's sort of often how I operate. If it doesn't resonate with me, then I don't think it's going to resonate with anyone else. And so I saw that title and I was like, oh, song, or, you know, words of instruction or titles of instruction or whatever. And I thought, oh, songs of instruction.
Bingo.
There you go. And it just stuck with me, yeah.
Working with producer Justin Golden, I think, for the first time as a producer, correct?
Yes, and I've known Justin and Tasha for many years. I've been a fan of Ellery for a long time. I remember when they first started. And Justin and I just never, our paths never crossed. And then Tasha ended up becoming a teacher for my son years ago, an English lit teacher. And her and I started becoming friends. And so that sort of led to me working with Justin, asking him to co-produce. I wanted to produce. I wanted to be more a part of the production process than I ever had been. So I asked Justin if he would do that with me. So
was that a satisfying process for you?
It was. It was. And I still feel like I am such, even though I've been making records for a long time, I feel like I'm still such a baby when it comes to the process. It's not really where my brain naturally goes. I'm so focused on what I'm saying and how I'm vocally, like how my singing-wise, just sort of musically what's coming out, the melodies from me personally. And so I'm trying to really expand and think about all the other pieces to it. So yeah, I'm still new on it, but Justin helped to really guide me with that.
Was there any arm wrestling between the two of you?
I just pushed him down a few times.
Good.
Yeah.
Definitely a Kim Taylor record, but a couple of things strike me. And I was talking with you the other day about horns on here on a couple of tracks.
Yes.
Flugelhorn? I guess they're a
horn player.
Double or triple track. It sounds like
Yes, exactly. No, I didn't hire five flugelhorn players. That would be...
Bring the brass in.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a little bizarre of me. I also don't have money for five flugelhorn players.
And I don't want to make it sound like this is a Chicago record or anything.
Right.
I think there are two tracks with the flugelhorns on it.
Oh, God,
and
I
some
love
very
Chicago
distorted guitar that I guess Justin's playing on.
Actually, that's Brad Meinerding.
Oh, okay, Brad.
Mostly Brad. We brought Brad Meinerding in to do some of the distorted guitar. I think Justin does a little bit of it, and also to play some mandolin on a track.
The writing process, what do you have, 10 tracks here.
Yes.
Did you write other songs at this same time that maybe didn't fit or save them for another time?
Yeah, I always do. Yeah. I always write more than I need. And there were actually several tracks that I had posed to Justin. I was like, oh, I love this. I love this. And then ultimately, these just felt they were ready. I always feel like there's that batch that feels ready to go. And these felt the most ready. So yeah, I definitely have a handful of songs that I haven't finished or were mostly done or weren't quite right. You know, the mood isn't quite right, so.
Has your writing process changed, evolved over the years in any way?
Yeah, it takes me longer.
Yeah.
I'm doing a little bit of the Leonard Cohen thing where I'm filling an entire notebook with one song, rewriting it, and it's kind of annoying because I actually can, I can have, you know, 50 audio clips of the same song on my phone, and when a record's done, I go back through it, and I kind of want to just delete everything. It's kind of satisfying. But at the same time, then I don't know. So I have less of just the song showing up from beginning to end. I have a lot more of me really trying to have to work for it. It's a bit quieter in my brain, but it's good. I mean, I'm still very alert, very present to when music and melodies and ideas and songs show up. I'm very vigilant to capture it. So,
track number 5, Pearly Gates. Down. Why do you want to burn the gates down? Where'd that come from?
Well, part of this record is sort of a reflection of my own background growing up in a deeply conservative fundamentalist church. And I always, even as a kid, we sang lots of songs about going to a kind of heaven that involved pearly gates and streets of gold and mansions where everybody got their own mansion. And, you know, I sort of accepted that concept. And as I got older, I realized, boy, that feels like a lonely concept of heaven. And it also felt like it was the opposite of sort of the teachings of the person of Christ, where it wasn't about material possessions at all. It wasn't about accumulating gold and wealth, but it was about loving your neighbor. And so I thought, I really wanted to write a song that was sort of tearing down that concept of heaven and giving people freedom. And for me, there's a line in it that talks about, like, I'm gonna free the people mm-hmm. inside. And that's my way of saying I want to sort of free you from this being the concept of heaven that you might have, because actually I think it could be a richer idea that we can have of heaven. So, yeah.
And a sidetrack, as long as we're talking about heaven and religion and such, you're heavily involved with Christ Church Cathedral now. Tell us about your role there. It's a musical role.
Yeah, I've been attending there since 2013, I believe. And it's funny because when my husband and I, we were out of the church for 12 years, almost 12 years. And I really thought there was no place for me in church. I grew up in a Baptist church. And I didn't even know that there was such a thing as the Episcopal Church. That mm-hmm. wasn't even a concept to me. And so there are just wonderful people. The dean there has been a gift to me, opening my eyes to other thoughts and ideas and theologies that I didn't even know existed. And so I've been not only an active member of that community, but I've also helped out musically. I started doing a series of concerts in the renovated chapel this past year, trying to connect the local music scene, songwriters with that space. The director, Stephen Casarella, is just a wonderful person, and he's been so supportive of everything I've done. And so, yeah, I'm just, you know, trying to bring a little bit of rock and roll into mm-hmm. that space, so it's nice.
We're visiting with Kim Taylor. Kim's brand new set becomes available this Friday. It's called Songs of Instruction. And it's always a pleasure to catch up, and congratulations. It is a beautiful record.
Thank you so much, Brian.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.
Make me a channel of your peace, where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is injury, you pardon, Lord. Where there is doubt, truth.